job, Jeremiah. That's pretty sweet worship. Hey, guys, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 2, so go ahead and pre-mark your Bibles. Sweet. Well, cool. While you guys are doing that, by the way, it's towards the end of the Bible if you guys aren't Bible literate. It's the fifth book towards the end. So let's go ahead and open up in prayer. God, how wonderful it is that we could just come and worship you freely, God, and study your word and get fed, Lord, without worrying about having to hide, having to be persecuted or be martyred, be killed, Lord, just for worshiping you. We thank you for this amazing privilege, God. Lord, meet us here tonight, God, and just speak to our hearts. Convict us if need be. Change us. Speak to us. Allow us to grow. Allow us to be focused upon you this night and throughout our day, throughout our week, Lord. Let us just be more glorifying to you and putting a smile on your face each and every day, God. Use each and every single one of us. We're available, Lord. We love you and we thank you, Lord. In your name.
Amen.
Cool. So let me ask you guys a question. Show of hands. How many of you guys have loved someone other than your family members? Nice. About half of you guys. Cool. How many of you guys love something? A material possession. About half of you. Okay. I thought it would be more. Okay. So how many of you guys have ever hated someone?
Yes.
About 75% of you guys. Okay. Well, I got some terrible news, but that's towards the end. Okay. So what is love? What is hate? These are two questions that boggle people's minds forever. Okay, is love food? Is it money? Is it your Xbox 360? Is it your iPod? Is it your new chocolate cell phone? Is it your new razor? Or is it emotions, desires, affections? Shh. Yeah, you guys could love those things. You guys could have all those things. And if you could love them very easily. I know I used to. But will they love you back? No. Will they give you a hug when you're sad? No. If they do, call me. I'll call a news camera. No, just kidding. Well, what will happen, let's say you get all these new things. You got the new 360. No, better yet, you got the PS3. You got the new mint chocolate cell phone. You got the new 80 gig video iPod. You got the new Mac Notebook Pro. You got new clothes, new shoes. New skateboard, new bike, everything's new. And all of a sudden, you guys have friends that you didn't know you had. These people are just coming around wanting to hang out with you because you have all these cool things. Now what happens, what would happen if you guys lost all those things? And those friends are gone one day. And they don't want to hang out with you no more. Well, sad to say, in America, that's the case. A lot of people in a lot of marriages happen because someone has a great number of money, jobs, businesses, cars, houses. And once that money is gone, once that house, once that business, once whatever is gone, so is the marriage. And it's sad to say, but more and more marriages are happening that way. And more friendships are made and destroyed that way. And if you were to look up the word love in today's English dictionary, it's a broad word. It will list all these different things, but it doesn't state one specific thing or an emotion, or doesn't specific state one specific word or action. That's why I love looking at the Bible in the Greek. The Greek has three words for love. The first one is eros, which means sexual desires. It's where we get our English word erotic. I'm sure you guys have heard of that word. We also have another word called phileo, which means brotherly love or brotherly kindness. We all know what English word we get that from. Philadelphia. That's our English word of phileo. The city of brotherly love is Philadelphia. And also we got agape love. Now this is a whole other ball game of love. This love is much different. It is selfless. It's giving. It's expecting nothing in return kind of love. Here's an interesting thing about hate. It's not a lack of love, but it's the complete opposite. I could like these Christmas trees up here, but I don't hate them and I don't love them. I just like them. So you can see that love is just the complete opposite. Dictionary.com defines love as hate as to dislike intensely or passionately, to feel extreme aversion or extreme hostility toward, to be unwilling, to feel intense dislike, or it's the object of extreme aversion or hostility. Here's something interesting about love. Love has had more songs, poems, books, movies, letters written about it than any other word or topic out there. As a matter of fact, I typed in the word love in my search bar on the internet, on Yahoo's homepage. 818 million websites that deal with love. 818 websites, million websites that deal with love. Now, I typed in the word hate. 154 million websites that deal with hate. You can see the big contrast. About 700 million more websites that deal with love alone. And today, we're going to be talking about a thin line between love and hate. And that just also happens to be my first point. Write that down, a thin line between love and hate. And I'm not talking about the movie. You guys shouldn't be watching that movie anyways. If you guys seen it, it's not very good. I don't recommend it. Don't go rent it. Don't go buy it. Okay. Don't. Okay, so we're in chapter 2 of 1 John. We're in chapter 2 of 1 John. And we're going to be at verse 7 today. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Okay, so let me elaborate on this verse. I know it sounds a little confusing. So, brethren, that word is a term of endearment. It's something you would call a good friend, a very good friend. You wouldn't walk up to a stranger and call him brethren. This is like one of your best friends. Okay? And so he's writing to some dear friends of his. And he's not writing a new commandment, but an old commandment. And if you guys notice that phrase, an old commandment, it's singular, not pluralized. So what commandment is he talking about? He's not talking about the Ten Commandments, no. He's talking about, well, turn with me to Leviticus. It's the third book of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, chapter 19. Verse 17. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, the people being Israel. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now, at this point, God is talking to Moses about all the ceremonial laws, all the sacrificial laws of the tabernacle. This is the first time that God gives any of the people, any of the children of Israel, the command to love one another. So this is the old commandment that John is referring to. So we go back to 1 John. And look at verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Wait, earlier he said he wasn't writing a new commandment. Now verse 8, he's saying that he is writing a new commandment. So what's the new commandment that he's writing? Anybody could tell me? No? Well, turn with me to the Gospel of John, the fourth book of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Acts, Romans. Chapter 13. Verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I love you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now keep in mind, this is Jesus speaking here. He's speaking at the Last Supper. He has already called out Judas as his betrayer. He's about to call out Peter on his denial. He's about to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's going to pray and get arrested. From that point, he's going to get beat on, spit on, his beard ripped out, the crown of thorns placed upon his head. He's going to get whipped. He's going to get beaten. He's going to take up the cross. He's going to go to Golgotha or Calvary. He's going to die upon the cross willfully. And this is where Jesus is talking about the new commandment to love one another. Now, this is the ultimate example of agape love. Christ did this willfully. He wasn't expecting nothing in return. He didn't have to go to the cross. He chose and willfully wanted to go to the cross. And that's the thing we need to take by, we need to take it, and we need to learn as much as humanly possible just from that one image, just of the image of Christ on the cross. Have that mental image in your mind for a whole day, throughout the day, and see how much you change in that day. Do it throughout a week, and then continue through a month. Guarantee you will change. Not in just actions, but also the way you speak. Okay, so now we're going back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. Sorry, I'm having you guys jump all over the place, which is a really good thing to get you more familiar with your Bible. Sorry. Actually, no, I'm not. Okay. Verse 9, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Okay, so notice, he's saying that if you're in the light and you hate your brother, you're in darkness still. And that word brother isn't talking about your brother, your physical brother, your physical sister that you live with, that you spend your life with. No, he's talking about your fellow believers, other Christians. He's saying if you hate them, you're not walking in the light. You're not walking with Jesus. You're walking in the darkness. You can't walk in the light and walk in the darkness at the same time. It's physically impossible. Notice with me, this brings me to my second point. How to love. Write this down. How to love. And we'll notice this in verse 10. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. Well, if we abide in the light, we're not going to stumble. And if we love one another, then both of those things are going to come into play. But love is more than emotions. It's more than affections. It's more than desires. It is action. Romans 5:5, you don't have to turn there, but write it down and look at this on your own time. It says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. Well, the Holy Spirit enables us and gives us the ability to love one another. So we need to take full advantage of it. Not only that, but we're also commanded to love one another. 1 Corinthians 13, if you guys would look at that on your own time, study this whole chapter. This whole chapter deals about love. And Paul here is writing to the church of Corinth. Now, this church is very corrupted and it's very twisted. They're dealing with sin, crazy sin, worship community, and so forth. But listen to what Paul says to the church of Corinth. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long, love and is kind. Love does not envy, love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Verse 13. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, the greatest of these is love. Here again, we get the greatest commandment, which is love. He says you could have everything in the world. You could have all the gifts, all the material possessions. You could have anything you want. And if you don't have love, it's no good. And 1 Corinthians 13 tells us how to love. What love does, what love does not do. Now, if we love, it's going to be harder for us to stumble. Okay? So this brings me to my third point. What does hate do? Yeah, I know you're thinking hate causes pain, it's frustration, it's stress. Those are all good points. But look at verse 11 in 1 John chapter 2. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, those of you guys who said you have hated someone or you do hate someone, which I'm completely guilty of. We were once walking in darkness and our eyes were blind. Now, if you have any bitterness, be careful. If you have any jealousy or envy, that stuff is going to turn into hatred. So be careful. Deal with that right away. Repent and confess, not only to God, but also to the person who is dealing with. Because hate contradicts the message that Jesus has taught us to love one another, to love God with all our mind, with all our heart, with all our soul. And hate, here's the thing about hate. It will ruin and destroy your walk and your fellowship with God. That's why John here is saying that you're blind. You don't know where you're going. You have no light. You have no guidance. And this is the thing here. Satan loves to see us destroy our relationship with God. So he's going to use any means necessary to bring your relationship with God down. Whether it's a little bit of jealousy, envy, bitterness. Yeah. Those things might start small, but before long, it's turned into this ginormous, abominable snowman that started off in this little tiny snowball that now is just out of control. And you're just hating everyone. You don't even want people telling you hi just because you're angry at one person and you're taking it out on everybody now. Guys, get rid of that sin. Get rid of that bitterness, that jealousy, that envy. It's not going to get you anywhere, but it's going to get you death. If you guys want to go to hell, go for it. Continue living in that way. Be my guest. Really, I don't want you guys to go there. Jesus doesn't want you to go there. None of these leaders want you to go to hell. That's why we're up here. Well, that's why I'm up here. I'm sharing this message with you guys. We're around so we could talk to you guys about this, so we could lead you into a more godly life. So when we repent and when we confess this, not only to God, but also to the person that is towards, it restores our fellowship with God. It might not restore it to the person that it's against. The Bible gives us instructions upon how to take care of that situation, though. But we're walking back in the light. We now see. Satan no longer has that foothold upon us. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. It's a page or not even a page to the right. Verse 15. Listen to what John says here. Remember, those of you guys who raised up your hand about what you said, you guys were guilty of hate. Listen to this. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And do you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him? John straight up says, if you guys hate your brother, you guys are a murderer. You guys don't have eternal life abiding in you. You're going to hell. And we know in today's society what happens to murderers, right? They go to prison. Some murderers get the death penalty. Tell you the truth, this is the ultimate death penalty, is hell. Verse 16. By this we know love because he, Jesus Christ, laid down his life for us. Like I said earlier, it's this ultimate agape love. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? So he's saying we're supposed to die for our fellow believers. Physically, in some situations it may be called for to physically die for a friend, a fellow believer. But what he's saying is, die to yourself in a spiritual way. You're busy, and a buddy comes up to you, a family member says, hey, I want to talk. I need prayer. I need to get this off my chest. And you're like, dude, I got a million things to do. I can't right now. Give me 20 minutes. You didn't die to yourself. But if you were to say, all right, cool. I'm busy. I got a lot of things to do. But what's up? You just died to yourself. When we went to Ding Dong Ditch, which a bunch of us did, we died to ourselves for a night. And we should be doing that continually. We came together. We got $5 a piece. We put our money together. We totally blessed 3 families. Think about the witness that created with the people at Walmart when they overheard us talking about what we were going to do. Think about what type of witness and what type of love that showed them, the neighborhood, and also the people that it affected. And think about from that point how that love is going to spread, how it's going to travel. Is it going to go into different countries? is they're going into different states. Think about that. I know of two families who are doing this. As a matter of fact, when they go out of town next week, they already have a family that they already want to do this for. And they're going to be doing this in Texas. So now Texas is going to know about this. Where's it going to go from there? If you show the love of Christ every day to everyone you come across, God will be ultimately glorified. You know, I believe it was Charles Spurgeon who said, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. We preached the gospel that night just by our actions. And that's how we should live our life. Our actions speak louder than our words. So show the love of Christ. I challenge you this week, 1 week, show love to every single person you come across. You see someone drop something, pick it up. You see a busy employee at the store, tell them, hey, good job. Give them a compliment. Open the door for someone. And that's going to speak volumes to them. So, if you guys have that hate, that jealousy, you guys need to confess it. Jesus didn't die for you with hate. Jesus didn't walk this earth with hate. He said, love your enemies. Love one another. Love God. Show love to your parents when they want to ground you or when they just grounded you. Show them love. Be submissive to them. They want you to pick up your room, pick it up. It's not that hard. Keep it clean. Now, I know what you guys are thinking. God is awesome. He loves us. But do you love everyone that's in your life? Do you love your friends? Every single one of them? Everyone at your school? Do you have any bit of hatred or jealousy? If you guys want, you guys could come up to any of us leaders. Talk to us. We'll be more than happy to pray with you. We'll be more than happy to talk to you. You guys know what you guys got to do, and that's repent and confess to God that you are a sinner, that you need Him, that you want to walk with Him, that you want to love Him and serve Him, and that you want His love abiding in you. That way, when people see you, they see God. And there's no greater testimony than that. Guys, if you guys haven't made that choice to accept God, do it today. Tomorrow's not promised today. Let's go ahead and end up in prayer, guys. Heavenly Father, God, we just come before you, Lord, and we just thank you for who you are. How you willfully came to this earth, this world, and died for us, God, out of pure love, pure agape love. God, you're so wonderful, Lord. You loved us even when we not focused upon you, when we didn't love you, God. You love us even though when we have hate towards another brother or another sister, God. Lord, just help us have a clear mind, pure hands, pure hearts, pure thoughts, Lord. And let our lives be centered around you, Lord. And let us be able to just to show everyone we come across your love, God. So that when people see us, they see you. God, we love you. We thank you, Lord. Lord, you're so awesome. You're so majestic. Every day you continually pour out your love upon us, Lord, just by giving us breath alone. And if that's not enough, the continual blessings of our lives, Lord. God, we love you and we thank you, Lord. And all of God's people said, amen. Cool. Guys, hold on. Yeah. We're having technical difficulties earlier. So now, here, I'm glad to introduce Emery Meredith. Forget the urgency, but hurry up and wait. Oh yeah, if you want prayer, we'll be around.